Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
I am what it says I am.
I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would be kind enough to turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Today, we will start preparing to lay the foundation for Revelation, a study in Revelation. The book of Revelation, not the gift of Revelation. And really what we want to begin to understand is God has a plan and a purpose for us, but the church must respond in these days. The title of this message is Watch and Pray. Matthew 26, verses 40 through 41. And then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping, saying, "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Prophetically, this is the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ presently. They are falling asleep. How can I say that? The scene is taking place in Gethsemane. Jesus is about ready to be betrayed and brought before the Sanhedrin. And so after the Last Supper, he goes to the Mount of Olives with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he tells them to watch and pray. And he goes away and he prays and he comes back and he finds the dudes all asleep. And he rebukes them. And he goes again and he prays and he comes back and they're asleep. And in his great mercy and grace, he doesn't bother them. He just continues to pray. The Church of Jesus Christ is in that place where Jesus has gone away and he is about ready to return. Will he find his church, his bride, awake or asleep is the question here. You see, we should be so energized in recognizing what is happening in the history of the world right now that we should be a people that should be living for God. Isn't that what Peter said? If the Word of God is so sure and we know that destruction is coming upon the world, what kind of people should we be? And here we are prophetically at that stage where the Church of Jesus Christ has fallen asleep. Fallen asleep because Peter says to us also, he says, you know, there's going to be people coming and say, where is this coming? It's been 2,000 years since Jesus went to heaven. 2,000 years is but 2 days in the Lord's timing of things. And what is happening to the Church of Jesus Christ is, you know what? It's been 2,000 years. I think I could take a break. I think I can take a nap. I think Jesus is over there preparing something for us, and I'll just wait for him to come back for us. But Jesus is telling us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Could you not, for 1 hour, watch and pray? Why is he emphasizing this? Well, turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And I want us to understand exactly where we are in the scope of this end time. These are the last minutes that we are in human history. Not hours, minutes we are in. Because the Lord could arrive at any time. Starting in the first verse in 24, we will continue to read. And I will make pit stops along the way. Jesus left the temple and was walking away with his disciples when his disciples came up to him and called to his attention its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left upon another. Everyone will be thrown down." And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us," they said, "when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age?" This event of every stone being broken down happened around 70 AD, 70 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And the reason why the temple was torn down was because it was inlaid with gold and silver and precious stones. And the Romans came and destroyed the temple, actually set fire to the temple because the gold was running into the cracks of the stones. And so what they did was they lifted up these stones to get the precious metals out of it to take back to Rome. And so the temple was destroyed. Jesus told them 70 years ahead of time that this was going to happen. And now the disciples are asking him, what's it going to look like when you're coming? And Jesus answered and said, watch out that no one deceives you. Isn't that what Peter said? Be careful of the false prophets. Be careful of the false teachers, that they are out to deceive you. And we did a whole study in that. That these people only want to live at our expense. They are parasites in the body of Jesus Christ. And God will destroy them. For many will come in my name and claiming that I am the Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Ladies, those of you that have given birth understand that there's tremors. Right? Called contractions. And that is exactly what is happening in the world today. There are contractions going on in the surface of the planet. We call them earthquakes. Some earthquakes happen under the ocean. Some happen on the ground. And I don't have the stats. I do know that in some of my general research for today's message, that earthquakes have been happening more and more frequently. Not saying that they're having the magnitude 6, 7s, and 8s happening, but there is a rumbling going on as we're living. Bless you. Volcanoes are erupting. The volcano Krakatoa, which blew its top almost 200 years ago, is active again. So active that in a week's time, it has grown from being a volcano under the sea to over 1,500 feet above sea level now, in a week. This is the volcano that killed an estimate 1 million people when it first blew. The power of that volcano drove ships 3, 4, 5 miles inland because the tidal surge was so violent and people were killed because they didn't pay attention to the signs. Wars. There are so many wars going on. There were more wars fought in the 20th century than the first 19 centuries. More wars. More people died in those wars. And through that, especially the Second World War, where an estimated 100 million people were killed, we now have the ability to obliterate the planet with atomic bombs. And there are 7 billion of us on this planet. Revelation says a third of them will die because of that. But I'm ahead of myself. Because there's wars and rumors of wars, there's be famine. In famine, there is diseases, malnutrition. People will give their life to eat. They will allow people to rule over them just so they have a place to live and something to eat. In America today, what is happening is the usurping of power by our government to control people. You may say, That's not true, but the fact of the matter is, every government, except the government that our founding fathers had, was geared to control people. And only the elite, those in power, were the ones that had the privileges. Everyone else had to deal with life. And the Bible tells us that there will be a one world government to rule the people so that Antichrist can rule. We know this. We know this, and it's happening. A chilling fact came out that right now there's a lot of discussion going on with the Iranian situation with the nuclear power plants because they are making enriched uranium. And the president of Israel said that they can't wait much longer. They need to take these nukes out. And a couple of our generals and secretaries of state in previous administrations said, that can't happen. We can't allow Israel to defend themselves. We will have to engage Israel. Church, we're there. We're right there. And that's not even including all the prophetic aspects of what Jesus has told us. We're there. Prophetically, there's nothing else that needs to happen except Jesus' return. And that's what we're waiting on. And we're still playing games of being these little Christians and we can do whatever we want to. And I'm telling you, it's going to be sad on the Church of Jesus Christ. Because those people who think that they're okay won't be. And so we need to wake up. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end shall be saved. Don't we see that now? Look at our cities. Our cities used to be elegant, and there was a lot of pride in our cities. Today, there is no pride in our cities. We're killing our youth like never before. Taking a life doesn't mean anything because there's no consequences for it. And what has happened is our games, the video games that we play, actually anesthetizes our sensitivity to life. We think that we can kill somebody and they're going to pop up because, after all, I got five lives over here. This is not a video game. This is real. And people are dying. And we're going to be persecuted. Jesus said we're going to be persecuted. So you might as well settle in your heart right now that you're going to get persecuted. Because if you lay claim to his name and they treated him with indignity, how much more do you think they're going to do with his servants? This is not the time for the church to shirk back and take a break. Watch and pray. What else? And this gospel in the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We have a job to do. Jesus commissioned the church to go and preach the gospel. Make disciples of the nations, teaching them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no time for us to goof off. And yet, in the Church of America, our hearts are waxing cold against He who died for us. Because we don't want to do what He says. Because you could tell the love that a person has for another person by how much love they have for God. Remember it's the old plumb line teaching? If this isn't right, this is not going to be right. No matter how much you try, your selfishness and self-centeredness is going to get you in trouble every time. And what do? We blame God. God, why'd you... No, you did this to yourself. And you're going to be persecuted because you call on the name of the Lord and you're not changing. You're living your life the same way. And guess what? We deserve to get burned up with the heathen. We deserve it. But yet, it's another story. And so you will see standing in the holy place the abomination that is called desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel. Let the reader understand, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything from it. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never will be equaled. In those days, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect and those who will be, those days will be shortened. And I will, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect. If that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. The Church of Jesus Christ is running after all these signs and wonders. They run to Toronto. The Blessing Church. Manifestations of the Spirit are tremendous. And I am not minimizing that. Pensacola, tremendous outpouring of worship. Hillsong, church in Australia. Lots of miracles going on. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is going forth. And what happens is people go to those places and they go, oh, it was wonderful. Well, my church is so boring. How do you think they got there? They watched and they prayed. Church, you got to wake up. You got to see the signs. You know, I don't know anybody that's asleep will see a stop sign. They'll go through the stop sign and someone's going to get hurt. Only that person who is alert will see that stop sign and make the correct motions in which to stop so that no one gets hurt. And Jesus is telling us that this is going to happen. And that's what's happening. Pastors, never before, are falling into sexual sin. Theft in the church. Embezzlement. Like never before. I know of a case where a pastor had embezzled over $1 million to his flock, repented to the flock, and they reinstated him as the set man in their congregation. I'm going, what are you people, nuts? But he repented. Did he restore? See, we only want to do half of what God says. And the truth of it is we really don't want to do anything that God says. We still think that we have the right to do what we want to do. So if anyone tells you, there he is in the desert, do not go out. He is in the inner room. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there will be vultures gathering. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Jesus is telling us that there is going to be such turmoil, such... I love watching the Science Channel. They're talking about this mega volcano in America. Anybody know where that's at? It's called Yellowstone National Park. The whole park is a volcano. Its caldera is the whole park system. And they said that if this volcano blew up, I'll say 200,000 years ago, I don't know when it was, to be truthful with you, but if it blows up, as Jesus described it here, it'll be worse. It'll be a nuclear winter like never before. People will die. Plants will die. You won't be able to survive. But the Son of Man has already come during this time. And at this time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see that the Son of Man was coming on the great clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. He's going to catch us up before this stuff really gets nasty. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. What is he talking about here? Well, in Scripture, he's giving us a picture here, a topology. And the fig tree always points to Israel. Israel had a country that was being occupied by various empires and all. But when Christ died shortly after that, they were a people without a land. They were scattered throughout all the empire. Until 1948, when Israel was named a country again, and the people of God began to come back to Israel. Now, they have been a country for 60 years. Six is the number of man. 60. God's perfection is in seven. So between 60 and 70 years, something is going to happen. We know that in Daniel, through his 70 weeks of Daniel, that things are going to happen. We also know that the numbers, and we will elaborate as we go into this. I'm trying to paint a picture here to give you an understanding that this is not the time to think that pastor's going off the deep end. No. I want us all to get to heaven. I want us all to really examine ourselves and those areas that we're playing around with or ignoring that God has been telling us you need to repent of and get rid of. Is the time to do it now, because when he comes, you may not go with him. Turn over to chapter 25. How much time do I have, Steve? Okay. Chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. Christ is talking. Remember, he is talking about events that are coming. He is talking about the condition of the church. He is talking about the church to be watchful, alert. And then he says this. And at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Sound a little familiar here? The church is falling asleep. They're getting tired of carting around all this stuff. Tired of, gosh, I gotta do this or I have to do that. Tired of doing churchianity stuff instead of being like Christ. And he said at midnight, the cry ranged out, here's the bridegroom, coming, meet him. In those days, what was happening was there was a dowry set forth. And what was arranged marriages. The father of the groom came to the father of the bride, and they would arrange the dowry. And then the time for that wedding was coming, and nobody knew when that was coming, except the bridegroom, because the bridegroom was preparing a place for his bride. Sound a little familiar? Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again for you. There is an agreement that our Father made with the bride, that his Son is going to come and take the bride out of here. The Bible says that we are not destined for wrath. So we're not going to be punished as far as total eternal damnation. But we may not have rewards. Or if we aren't living close to Him and living our lives as we want, that is called rebellion. It's punishable by death. But let us continue. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there is not enough for both us and you. Instead, go to him who sells oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, bridegroom came. Oil signifies anointing, signifies the Holy Spirit, signifies the preciousness of God. The virgins who had already went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others came and said, "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he said to them, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Watch and pray. We've got to pay attention, church. And not only just watch what's going on in the events of the world. We are right there. Watch for yourself, your spiritual condition. This is what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about just because you're in church, just because you're listening to messages, just because is not a guarantee that you're going with them. My heart is, I want to see all you guys up there with me. Because I'm praying that I'd be found faithful, worthy of His kingdom. I don't even take for granted myself. I know what kind of worm I was. And I know how hard the fight is. But it's not time to take a break. And so I continue on. You must continue on. You must examine yourselves. That's why communion is something that we don't just, I'll just eat the cracker and drink the wine. Oh, praise God. It's more than that. It's a symbol of our relationship with Him and what He promises to give to us. And to turn it into something as a religious rite is wrong. It needs to be repented of. Only those who had the oil. Only those who were smart enough to bring extra oil. Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? Jesus says, count the cost. He wants us all to be there with Him. But it is up to us be in the right spiritual condition. What is your spiritual condition? Are you mad at God? Are you angry about things? Are you embittered about stuff? Repent. Get it under the blood. And then deal with it. Well, you, Pastor, you just don't understand. Things have happened in my life. Yeah, you know what? Things have happened in my life too. You get over it. Get over it. You're not that important. What He wants is more important than you taking a little temper tantrum and being mad at God. He saved you for a reason. You have a job to do. And the sooner you get on His plan and His purposes, the happier you're going to be. Trust me, that's the truth. You'll have the oil. And then when He comes, you'll be with Him. And then your joy will be fulfilled, because in the presence of God there's joy evermore. Look, we don't have the right to be angry with anybody. But God's a great big God. He allows us to be angry with Him. He wants to heal us of that nonsense. He wants you spiritually fit for His kingdom. Going to church, playing church, pretending to be a Christian while you're still in sexual sin or you're stealing or you're lying or whatever is sin. Murder is no different than abortion. What constitutes and what makes that happen is how selfish and self-centered we are. You see, we're in a society that doesn't want any kind of ramifications for our behavior. We can do what we want and we spit in God's face every day. That's not what the Bible teaches, as you can see here. Your spiritual condition is determined by what you do. And most of us are not real wise about what we're doing. Pastor, you got to help me. Okay, I'll help you. Are you willing to do what God says to do? Well, let's hear what you got to say. Well, this is what God says. It doesn't matter what I say. My opinion next to God's is like, it's not even dirt. It's less than dirt. Maybe dust. If you're not willing to hear what God has to say and implement what, then you're no different than the unwise virgins. And you can come to church and you can hear the word and you can do all kinds of stuff. But you may be in danger eternally. And I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. Which leads us to the other part. That's watching. Watching the events and understanding where we are. Understanding your condition spiritually. But he said, pray. You know why the Church of Jesus Christ is so weak? Because the church doesn't pray. I just don't have time, Pastor. I'm so busy. Yeah, that's why I've been fasting sleep for the last 2 weeks. You know, that's a legitimate fast. It is. And believe me, I got better things to do than to get up and seek his face. I get up because I know it's important to him. My comfort and my rest will be met whenever he says to. I have to get up and I have to find out what he wants and then begin to get on his plan and direct my life in such a way. And it's no different for pastor as it is for you. Jesus said pray. Prayer in its basic simple form is just talking with God. Yo, Dad, what's going on? What's bothering you? Or do we go, oh, Holy One of Israel, Ancient of Days, I beseech you, Lord. Ain't going to find that in my house. Yo, Dad, what's going on? Why you got me up? Father. We pray so we don't fall into temptation to sin. You sin and I sin because we're not willing to pray. And because we're not willing to pray, we are weak. And what happens is, Satan throws something out at us and we're like, ooh, that looks pretty good. Wait a minute, God. And then we chase after it. And we fall into sin. The temptation is there. We know it's bad for us, but you know what? I just gotta have the Twinkie. I gotta have it. Don't we? God says, you're not to have sex before marriage. God didn't really mean that. Right? He didn't mean that. Yeah. We could justify our behavior. Ah! A little short this week. God can't supply. Don't sweat it. I'll catch up with you. Do you know that commit the tithing to make sure the storehouse is full? That if you withhold your tithes, he charges you 20%? Do you know that? How much are we withholding? He says in Malachi, you've robbed me. You've stolen from me. And we, of course, clean-cut people, we say, how do we do that to you? You got everything. You even got the caramels. And we're wondering why we're not being blessed. Well, I'm not working. I don't have this. Don't tell me what you don't have. You see, for men and women of God that have passed on, they have given everything that they have. Because it's His anyhow. Everything. Well, you just don't understand. You know, I'm mad until God gets straightened out here. You know, I'm not gonna pay my tithes. You don't pay your tithes. You give. You give it because you love Him. He's not asking you to give to Him out of compulsion. He's asking you to give because you love Him. Because you see, as you pour in, He pours out on you. Better is it Him to give than to receive. You see, we like to receive. I got the coin toss. I am going to receive. And you will receive emptiness. Not blessings. We're to pray to seek His will. We're to pray to understand the signs of the times. We're to pray that we're not deceived. How do we do that? Well, we stay in the truth. We understand what God is saying. But I'm not walking in the light you're walking in. I know that. I understand that. But you got to start walking in the light. If you don't have any oil for your lamp, you're walking in darkness. That's the whole message of the parable. People are in the church are still in darkness. They don't understand it, nor do they realize it. And they're going to be left behind. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word. Church, what are you praying? Aunt Susie needs crutches. I could use a job, God, if you want to give it to me. You know, I'm making light of it, but they're not the prayers that God is looking for. The Bible says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. What does that mean? That means, God, I have this problem. Handle this. All right. What can I do for you? That's the truth. That's what it's talking about for us when we pray. Here's my problem. Handle it for me. Now, we don't walk away. We need to listen to hear what He's got to say about it. And then we implement that. But do we go to Him with a whole list of stuff that don't matter? Or do we go to a whole list of saying, God, I need John saved. I need Tom saved. I need Mildred saved. I need this one saved. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to pray for them that they are part of your kingdom? A little bit different in how we pray. Not my will be done, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, watch and pray. Are you asleep at the wheel? Are you praying? If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, then you're not endued with power from on high. You need to get baptized in the Spirit so you can pray, so you can talk to God, so that God can be real to you and move upon your lives. I mean, this thing with the building, I don't care how many times we put it down. If we put this down again, I believe God's going to bring it back up. He wants to plan us. We need to see that we need to do first things first. We need to be doing what He's told us to do. Everything in this building is going to happen because we're doing what He's told us to do. Amen. If we're about His business, He will definitely take care of our business. He has taken care of me to the point where, you know what? I don't want to do anything that will stop His blessings come upon me, my family, and this fellowship. How about you? I can't answer for you. All I can do is begin to paint this picture that as we go and start into Revelation next week, it's the first word says, blessed is he who reads the words of this book. Blessed means happy. It's not a sad time, it's a happy time because the revelation of Jesus Christ in His heart for all men, it's going to be revealed. He loves men, but you know what? Our wickedness needs to be punished. And just like any parent with their child, eventually you're going to have to punish your child that's been disobedient. Right? Like we take away the mirrors and the makeup. Because our youngsters are beautiful enough. We take away the bottles of milk, and we start feeding upon a meal that God has given to us. And that doesn't mean that tribulation and trials in our lives will stop. It only means it's going to get worse, which means you need to be on your knees. The kingdom of God is built on the needs of the saints. Knees of the saints. Could you not wait with him in this hour? You see, sin comes when we're at the moment of our weakness. Satan paints a picture that it's really great. And when we sin, we fall into sin, we separate ourselves willingly from God. Whether it's a bad attitude, whether it's bad habits, whether it's speech or ill-gotten gain. God's not mocked. He sees everything. He sees what's going on in your heart as well as my heart. And he wants to squeeze that junk out of your heart to fill it with such pliability of his spirit. To go across the street, go across to the neighbors and tell them what God is doing. What's God doing in your life? Oh, I don't know. Now, I could brag on God every week, but I want to hear what going on in your lives. I want to hear the testimonies of what God's doing in your lives. And obviously some of us are asleep because we're not seeing God do something in our lives. Church, this is not the time to drag our feet. This is not the time for us to demand our will to be done. There are people, family members, co-workers, fellow students that are going to hell. I had a friend of mine who I was witnessing to. Was killed in a motorcycle accident 2 weeks ago. I don't know if he came to Christ. But those opportunities are gone for him. You see, we determine what the outcome of our eternity is going to be. And God is screaming at us to wake up, not to smell the roses, but to pay attention, that it's more critical now to be right with him than ever before. We are entering into the days of wickedness like no one's ever seen except the days of Noah. And they laughed at Noah. They ridiculed Noah and his family. But Pastor, they're making fun of me. So, those are the people that God is looking for. Those who are courageous. And you are courageous. Courageous to sit here and allow the Spirit of God to step on your toes and your heart. And you know what I'm saying is true. But you also know that you have a responsibility to respond. And I give you that opportunity. Come up here. Let's pray. Let's get this junk done with once and for all. Let's get on God's program. And let's move out and take this town so we can take another town and another town and another town before we go home, before he comes. I don't know about you, and you've heard me say this numerous times in the past weeks. All I want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Only you determine. But I exhort you that if you're willing to pay the price, the reward is eternal. Where moth can't eat it, thief can't steal it, and rust can't destroy it. It's yours forever and ever. Amen? Father, I pray that you cleanse us, Lord. I ask that, Father, you forgive us of our slothfulness. I ask, Father, that you forgive us of putting you second and everything else first, God. You tell us that the first principle of our salvation is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us. We don't have to go to work for them. We just need to seek you first. God, you are so good. So wonderful to us and so loving and forgiving, God, that I pray today that we are shaken to our core of how much we offend you by taking you for granted. God, forgive us. Forgive us, God, that we prioritize everything but you into our day. I pray for your church, God, that we would change our habits. We would rip up our situation sheets, God, our schedules, everything, God, and we would just put you first and foremost, and then you fill in the blanks. God, Father, I know you hear me, God. I know you're here in the midst. I am your servant, God, in whom I stand before you, God, in fear and trembling. That some here may not have heard, God. God, shake them to their very beings as I shake in my being now. You are an awesome God. And as Romans or Hebrews tells us, God, it is a fearful thing to find yourself in the hands of the living God. God, Father, Jesus, cleanse us by your precious blood. May we be found without spot or wrinkle. May our lamps be filled with your oil. May we be acceptable and count it worthy to enter into your kingdom, God. I ask, God, that you scrutinize us in our hearts, God, to make us holy as you're holy, to be perfect as you're perfect, God, and leave these childish things behind. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.